101, oh yeah. Recovery 101 is a sober show. The only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brian for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle.
Who's Brian?
Who's Brian?
Brandon. Thank you to Brandon for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle, but I'm sure Brian will send one in.
How much eggnog have you had?
For, you know, I'm not an eggnog guy. I don't like the flavor. I don't like the taste. This is not my gig. Maybe Brian's going to send one in for Recovery Idol. Don't forget to send in things for Recovery Idol. If you want to do a jingle for us, you got to use the words Recovery 101 or Recovery 101 Radio. If you'd like to mention the show host, Bruce, Shelley, or Mark, you can. But anyway.
If you do, we'll like it better.
Yeah. We don't speak for AANOACAGAPSLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPAIR.
Or any of the Anons.
Yeah, we don't speak for none of them. They're guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves. Which, of course,
you're about to witness.
You've already heard a little.
Yeah.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
Sweet.
Toot. Sweet. Toot. Sweet. That's what I always think of when you guys start doing that.
That's from
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Weird movie. Written by Ian Fleming, who also wrote all the James Bond movies.
Yeah.
That's why you have a car that does a million things.
That's right.
That's why you also have weird girls' names. What was her name? Truly Scrumptious.
Truly Scrumptious.
That's not as good a name as Pussy Galore was in James Bond, but still. Or Ivana Humpalot from...
That wasn't James Bond.
No, but he was a James Bondy guy. Austin Powers.
Austin Powers.
Oh.
What's your name? Ivana. Ivana what? Ivana Humpalot.
I didn't really like the Austin Powers movies, but it had one of the hands-down funniest things I have ever seen in a film, and it was when the bad guy, what was his name?
Dr. Evil,
yes. He's in that chair, and it goes haywire and starts spinning around, and it finally stops, and he just says, gonna vom.
And he looks up, gonna vom.
And he says, all I asked for was a freaking rotating chair. It was just Michael Myers' expression and the whole, like, it was so undertone, and I thought I was going to pee my pants. It was the only time in the movie I laughed.
Laugh when they were trying to make the U-turn with the golf cart in the hallway?
No, because you know what? They stole that from Rowan Atkinson.
Well, you know what? Come on. It's Austin Powers. There's a bunch of them. Do you smoke after sex? I don't know, baby. I never looked. That's awesome. Or he says, he calls up like the UN, and he goes, you know, I'm holding the world hostage for $1 million. And the kid looks over and goes, Dad, $1 million is like nothing.
I know, all the guys are getting out their checkbooks.
$1 billion. I don't know.
Yeah, could someone, I've been frozen for 38 years. Could someone throw me a freaking bone here?
Throw me a freaking bone? I don't know. I really like the Austin Powers movies.
Me too.
Of course, I really like James Bond movies, too.
I think the reason I liked Austin Powers movies so much was the first one, Austin Powers International Man of Mystery. I happened to watch because it was just what was surrounding it. I had been on vacation with the family, and I was supposed to have a meeting with somebody on the way back. We were on a houseboat up in Lake Shasta, and we were driving back, and we were supposed to stop and meet someone, and they canceled the meeting on me as I was leaving the Redding area. So I'm coming back a day early. We had sold our house, and we were moving into a temporary location the next day. So we were homeless for a day. And as we're driving back, we decide, so we're going to stop and get a hotel on the way back. But we're taking a different route because we weren't going inland anymore. Well, as I'm driving, I'm not thinking about the fact that I don't remember which holiday weekend it was when we were driving back. So there are no hotels available. I start looking for a hotel around Santa Maria.
Oh.
And I get to Santa Barbara, and we still haven't found one.
Ouch.
And we're stopping, we're like getting off at off-ramps, stopping like in motels and hotels, trying to find a room.
The no-tell motel. They're like, sorry, this one's being rented all night by the hour.
Yeah, and we're trying for anything. And as we're driving, we're in a Suburban, and my son was 10 at the time.
Oh, this is a long time ago.
Yeah. And from the back of the Suburban, after we've made these stops and we've been driving and we're hungry and we're tired, and I hear, ah. Now I know how Mary and Joseph must have felt.
Oh, my.
It was so classic.
Was that your son's?
Yeah. So we finally pull into a hotel in Oxnard, and they had used the bridal suite as for a party before a wedding, and they just cleared out of it. And the bridal suite was available, so we took it. And had this big suite, and, you know, it's one, this huge room with the curve, and they rolled sofa, or they rolled rollaways in for me. So we had 5 rollaway beds in the living room. It looked like a refugee center.
Nice.
And we turned on the TV.
With the heart-shaped hot tub.
Well, we turned on the TV. When we get in, we get settled, and Austin Powers was the pay-per-view movie at the hotel. And so it had to buy it. And so we sat with the kids, exhausted, eating pizza from Domino's and watching Austin Powers. So it was actually kind of cool.
I can just see it. The refugee camp with the heart-shaped hot tub.
Yeah. Beautiful bar in the place.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, well, we've bantered for a bit, haven't we?
Yes. Well, you know what that means.
What's that mean?
Well, you know that we're sitting here bantering.
Yeah, okay.
That means that I'm in trouble.
That means that it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
I meant to nip in for something to drink, and I was so enthralled by the story that I forgot, so I was in trouble.
See, that bless you. See, that's Shelly. She'll just walk out right in the middle of the show, go get something to drink.
Yeah, pretty much.
She claims it's a big glass of cranberry juice, and then she gets really happy when she comes back
in. No, because I know you guys will just keep talking. Let's see. Where are we going now?
Bless you.
Thank you.
It's a talk show. Yeah, I just think you guys will keep talking. Well, yes, that's normally how this goes.
Because
that's
if we don't keep talking.
Yeah, it's going to be a bunch of dead air.
It's not a talk show. It's a quiet show.
Just not record anything. No intro, no nothing.
In Farmington,
Kentucky?
I believe it's Utah because it's the South Ogden. In Utah?
Then for sure it is.
The county sheriff's deputy, they have a video that was released in court. Christine Biggs had been pulled over. Well, she'd led the cops on a high-speed chase for a while. Then she kind of started slowing down. Then she, in a very extremely low rate of speed, hit a police car, then sort of pinballed and hit another police car.
Alcoholic pinball.
Yeah, she was highly intoxicated at the time. They finally pulled her over.
Bing, bing, bing.
They're investigating. They're not exactly sure whether or not the deputy had the right to do this, but he shot her in the eye.
Wait a minute. Extremely low speed.
Yes.
Hits a car. Hits another car. So I've got to think she's going very slowly.
Yes.
He shoots her in the eye.
Right.
Wouldn't the brain be right behind the eye?
You would think so.
It depends on the trajectory of the bullet. That sort of thing. But she was actually in court. She got a patch over one eye, obviously.
Yeah, I'll bet she does.
She was actually up on 7 charges. Most of them are like aggravated assault type of things. Because I guess she got belligerent after she was pulled over.
Because they don't have an official charge for alcoholic pinball.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they should.
Yeah, they should.
Well, she was, even after she was shot, she was conscious. She even asked them to make sure that her dog was all right. Her dog was in the car.
Why didn't she have the dog drive?
I don't know.
So, you haven't really told us why he shot her.
Is there a point to this story?
Because she hit the police car.
Okay.
That's what it says.
That guy's going to lose. Man. Yeah, well, but at an extremely low rate of speed.
Well, what I don't get is why, I mean, she's plea bargaining.
Yeah,
I mean,
wait. So, because I'm trying to picture this. She, at low speed, hits a police car. Then bounces off that, then goes and hits another car at low speed. So
right.
Then what? The cop runs up to the side of her window and just shoots a plug into her? I mean, that doesn't sound like... Because it'd be different if she... It wouldn't even be different if she slammed the cop car at 100 miles an hour. I've seen videos on YouTube of someone getting a ticket on the side of the road and then having someone plow into a car. You just don't go up and shoot the driver.
Well, maybe more will be revealed. I don't know.
There's some extenuating circumstances to this.
There's
sure.
Got to be something going
something
on.
Something on it, but it didn't
was
say
the cop
in the story.
On drugs.
It doesn't say that.
Doesn't say he wasn't.
That's right.
Now I have never heard of this person, but apparently, other people have. Her name is Favor Hamilton. She was a three-time
not a clue.
Track Olympian.
Still not a clue.
She had Nike TV commercials, swimsuit calendars, all sorts of stuff, and she worked for Disney.
I have no idea.
Still, well, she might not be working for Disney for much longer.
Bruce will be Googling her after the show, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she has spent the last year secretly working as a $600 an hour call girl.
$600 an hour?
Yes. She was working with...
She's got to be hot.
Las Vegas's premier escort service.
Which one would that be?
Something called Haley Heston's Private Collection.
Haley Heston?
Yeah, not a clue.
Charlton's daughters? I don't know.
But she's also married and has two young children.
She's not going to be married anymore.
She's got several businesses. She's also a real estate broker.
Stay-at-home dad.
The one that she makes the most money on is the $600 an hour.
Yeah. And she...
There are many guys out there who's like, if I could do that, I'd be so doing it.
She started doing this, she said, because she got addicted to the thrill of it because it alleviated the boredom of her midlife crisis.
Okay.
Like...
Good for her.
Wow. And here's what's really weird is her husband knew she was doing it and kept pleading with her to stop.
Oh, that would make sense.
Dude, I'd be gone.
And you're saying that, of course, she used to work for Disney.
Well, she's...
Did she show up dressed as Minnie Mouse?
you know what it'll be? She'll get to keep her job because the last guy she banged was some Disney executive.
Well, I don't know what it is that she actually does as a call girl.
For $600 an hour, probably pretty close to everything.
She had clients of hers that when this story was about to break... They heard about it and offered money to the papers to not print the story because they said she was worth every penny. So I don't know what she's doing. She must have like a gold-plated coochie, but...
No, she's doing everything.
Yeah, but you can get that for like a nickel in Pomona.
She's going on trips around the world, including Greece.
Like I said, you can get that for a nickel in Pomona. I mean, what, gee, many crickets.
I'm surprised, Shelley. How do you know this?
Because I've heard about it in meetings.
Oh. Yeah.
It's true.
I'm tired of sucking dick for a nickel. Wow. But, and a nickel's $5. Guys are looking in their wallet. They're like, I got a $100 bill. Take 20 on credit.
Well, last year, I remember I was at that marathon where that one girl shared that she was showing her gratitude list and she was grateful she hadn't given a single $3 blowjob in the last year.
Nice.
We've got a new study.
Was there funds available?
$600 an hour.
Yeah, the study was, is she really worth that? Well, think about that. You could say you banged an Olympian.
What if she wore her medals?
I don't know. Doesn't say.
Like pasties.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, new study. The study was done on participation, on how the differences between how men and women participate in Alcoholics Anonymous and whether it affects their recovery or how it affects their recovery. Massachusetts General Hospital, in apparently maybe in conjunction with the Center for Addiction Medicine.
We have one of those?
In Massachusetts, they do. Addiction medicine.
Why don't you take the medicine?
Yeah, addiction medicine. What kind of medicine is that?
This is a crack house.
What happens if I take five?
Center for Addiction Medicine. It's a crack house.
Yeah.
And what happens if I take five of those meds?
They found that men and women actually benefit from different aspects of the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. Men tend to benefit most from avoiding companions who encourage drinking and social situations, so the fellowship is more important for men.
And let me guess.
Because they hang out with different people.
And let me guess. Women benefit the most from Serenity injections.
No.
Damn.
Women, as they would go along in their recovery, as they managed to stay sober, they would get more confidence as they got through sad or depressing or anxious experiences by reaching out to another woman in the program. That increased their confidence, then they were able to work other steps of the program better. That's what they're saying in the study.
Okay.
I don't know why they did this study, but apparently it was the first study that identified behavioral changes behind success in AA.
Well, how many times have you seen the woman that comes around the program who says, I can't deal with women. I have a really hard time dealing with women. And I've heard that a zillion times where girls, you know, because they get a lot of action from guys and all the guys want to talk to them and everything. And they feed on that. Their ego feeds on that because they come around. They've been feeling so destitute and not being able to feel worthwhile that they come around. They come into a program where it's 10 times as many guys as girls. Suddenly guys start paying attention to them. They're like, they don't want to hang out with any women because all these guys are paying attention. So this says that once they stay sober for a while, they're able to go back and work with other women.
Basically, that's what they get more out of than, you know, the emotional components of it rather than, for men, the success seems to be centered around replacing old companions and things, the physical aspects of it. And for women, it's more of the emotional aspects.
No, I think men are replacing.
You mean just like regular real life?
Yeah.
I guess so.
I guess men are replacing their old associations with the newcomer chicks they're meeting.
Yeah, newcomer chicks, yeah. I hang around guys because they like talking to me.
Yeah.
Former ABC political reporter, Sam Donaldson.
Sammy.
Pulled over in Delaware and charged with a DUI.
Oops.
He failed his field sobriety test and was charged and then released.
Because he's famous.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yes.
Usually you get charged and then you at least spend the night.
Jail. No.
Did we get a BAC on him?
They didn't know there was no BAC in the story.
That's too bad.
Just says
I'd like to know how hard a drinker
test.
He was.
I don't know.
He's got to go back to Delaware
for his
court. I bet he's not as hard a drinker as Nick Nolte was in that DUI pic I saw of him. Or who was the other one?
Mel Gibson.
No. The other guy, and he sounds like the name sounds like an alcoholic.
Rip Torn.
How'd you like, that's a perfect name for an alcoholic, Rip Torn.
Rip Torn up.
Now this story made me go, in Townsville, Australia. And I actually like this particular animal. I would, you know, if it was a pet option, I might have.
Is this a koala bear story?
No.
Oh. Dingo?
Think about the fact that 8 out of the world's top 10 most venomous, deadly human creatures live in Australia.
Wait, deadly human creatures?
Deadly to human.
Oh, deadly to human.
A toddler in Townsville, Australia that happens
Toddlers
to like wildlife.
Poisonous?
His name's Kyle Cummings. He found a bunch of speckled eggs in his yard. And he asked his mom for a container to keep them in because he wanted to hatch them. So he put them in container and he put the lid on. Well,
what was he hatching?
A couple of weeks later, his mother went to open his closet door to get something out and found a plastic container laying on the floor that had 7 snakes in it. Apparently, maybe it had more before she found the container, yeah. But the snakes were alive in the container plastic. Thank God there was a lid on it, because the snakes happened to be, where is the name of the snake? Now
Lyphus
I can't find it.
Lyphus interruptus?
What? Yeah. They were deadly snakes.
Now
Eastern brown, that's what it's called.
Shelly, let me stop you for 1 second. At the beginning of the story, you said that this was a pet you would have.
An animal I like, yeah. California king snake is an awesome pet.
But an Eastern
California
brown snake,
is not a deadly snake.
Right. I like snakes in general. I mean, they're okay with me. But the Eastern brown, apparently if she had not found them before they got a little bit bigger and managed to pop the lid off, that these things would have killed both of them, like, dead instantly.
So what'd she do with them?
She called the Wildlife Care Center. They came and got the container and then...
killed them all.
Released them into the wild.
Threw them in the neighbor's backyard.
You got any neighbors on the block you don't like?
Yeah.
And the funny thing was, the little boy was sad to see them go. He wanted to keep them.
Wow.
Yeah, kind of scary moment there.
Yeah, kill you dead.
Okay, and since we bantered so long, we're way over time now. So that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back. Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College. Shelly.
What?
We have a topic.
Okay. Mark on.
What is it?
Heck if I know.
Shelly never knows.
It was topic. Sometimes I do, but it was some kind of combined topic. We were doing something.
Mark?
Lifting the fog.
Lifting the fog, it kind of mixed with progress, not perfection. So, we come into program.
We're new.
There's a significant amount of fog. Here we are in a place we don't know anything about, doing something we know nothing about, with people we don't know.
Listening to people share things that we have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah. So, Shelly.
Why is it always me first?
Why not?
Because he loves you more. Because we value your input.
Lifting the fog. Did you have some fog when you came in?
I had panic. I had sheer terror. I didn't have that moment of coming into the program and not knowing what the heck anybody was talking about, because I grew up with it. I knew exactly what they were talking about, and I was absolutely petrified because I really didn't want to do. I really didn't want to do this. It seemed like an awful lot of work. So it wasn't so much fog as it was sheer terror. Plus, I had an outside issue. I was going slightly crazy at the time. So that caused more problems than anything else. My mental problems in conjunction with trying to stay sober, and the added little bonus that I, unbeknownst to me, was going through the change of life at the same time. So my mood swings were quite dramatic and alarming. When you it was were, a bad time.
When you were younger and you were going to Alateen and stuff, did you ever know you were an alcoholic then?
No.
You hadn't really blossomed yet?
It wasn't until I got to college.
Ah.
The second college party, which was actually the second night that I was on campus. Because I went to a party my first night, and that was...
And you just said, rock on.
Basically. I got up the next morning, no hangover, and said, that was fun, let's do it again. Went to the second party, got up the next morning, looked at myself in the mirror and said, you're an alcoholic. And I didn't really care.
Moment of clarity.
Yeah.
You had a God shot that early? Dude, you could have... What year was that?
That was 1986.
You could have more time than me.
I could have.
If you had just paid attention to God's plan for you.
Yeah, but what kind of a story is that? I got drunk twice and panicked? I mean, what...
Sound like most of the stories we hear today.
Yeah, but you know what? That's really what you want. It's like they talk about the reason we share how bad our thing is so you don't have to go down to the sub-basement to get clean. How about you, Mark? You have a little fog when you came in? Now, you had a family member brought you in.
I had a family member bring me in. My aunt took me to my first meeting. I have no idea what they were talking about. But, you know, I got very lucky. I had a group of guys who said, you should come to a CA meeting. And I went to that meeting the next day, and I really found a home.
Right, like you identified right away.
Identified right away. My fog was more retroactive. It wasn't until I started getting some time that I realized how much I didn't hear when I first came in.
Right, it wasn't until you got some time where you realized how effed up you were before.
Yeah. But I came in at a time, I came in when Cocaine Anonymous was very young.
Extremely young.
And everybody that I was around was very much into the fact that we needed to stick together and needed to be there for each other the time. Absolutely.
Eskimos.
Yep. Put the newcomer in the center of the circle and everybody surround him.
Hey, Nanook, get in the center of this.
Yeah. You know. It was like that. It's like that scene from Smokey and the Bandit where Burt Reynolds is driving the car and they tuck him in between the two semis and then pull the one up next to him. You know?
Right.
So push you in the rocking chair. Yeah, you know. That's how the program was. I mean, it's just the guys with 30 days protected the guys with no days, and the guys with 90 days protected the guys with 30 days, and the guys with 6 months protected everybody. And,
yeah, because that was it.
Yeah, 9 months was a ton of time. But, you know, we were talking about this at a meeting today. Because, you know, somebody brought up the fact that they brought up program apathy, which is maybe a great topic for another show. But, you know, they just said, you know, everybody's at the, I got sober and I've got some time, so now it's time to do nothing. And, you know, when I came in, people, if you didn't go to a meeting one day, the next time you went to a meeting, everybody had this kind of look of terror in their eyes until you showed up and they saw you were okay. Because everybody knew you weren't there, you know. Not right. Everybody called you, but a couple people called you, so they knew you were okay. You know, you weren't at the meeting. Yeah, I was home. Why? Because I was home. You know, it's so, you know. But you show up and you're brand new, and you listen to all these people who are talking about stuff that you have no idea what it is.
I had a similar experience because when I first went to a meeting, I went to AA because someone suggested I go there, and I really felt like I was in a fog because I didn't identify at all, because I wasn't identifying with the right things. I wasn't listening to the similarities. I was looking at the differences, and I'm in a room with people that were significantly older than me. People that were talking about drinking 2/5 a day or a half gallon of whiskey a day. And that wasn't me. But someone had told me to go there, and I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, ah, man, I don't really get it. And I remember clearly, because at that time I was a coke addict, I remember clearly going to a Cocaine Anonymous meeting for the first time and hearing the who is an addict thing. And my fog lifted right there because I heard it, and immediately I identified. I mean, I'm sure it's like when an alcoholic goes to an AA meeting and they just completely identify her. Someone goes to an NA meeting, they completely identify. It's like, I got it. I got it clearly at that time. And then there was no fog, or it didn't seem like there was any fog. I think I'm a lot like Mark. You know, later on, when you look back, you go, wow, I was really effed up. But yeah. Then it was so new and fresh, and it's like I didn't feel like I was in a fog, because every time I went to a meeting, there was like this new discovery of, oh, my God, does that work? Like, just not picking up? Really? Is it that simple? If I just don't pick up that drink or that drug, I don't get loaded? Oh, my God. Like, that's a big revelation.
I mean, like, if a guy says to you today, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk, you know what that means. With 7 days, you have no idea what they're talking about.
Right. All those program things.
And then...
expect a miracle. From who?
I saw somebody...
I remember Easy Does It. Easy Does What?
Yeah. I saw somebody in a meeting one time ask a question about something somebody had said. And the answer they got back was, keep coming back. F that.
Yeah, keep coming back is a tough one.
Yeah.
Really? Know, that's your big big answer to me?
How about take 30 seconds and explain what you said? You know, keep coming back. What, you don't have time right now to, like, you know, give a newcomer a break?
Well, throw him a bone? And then mixed into that, you've got the progress, not perfection, where I felt when people would say things to me like that when I was new, that I'm not doing it right because I don't know what they're talking about. And they're telling me to do something, and I don't get why. I can't figure out what it is they want me to do. Keep coming back. Okay, I'll come back. That doesn't really help me with what I just asked you.
Yeah.
Or it didn't seem that way.
Yeah.
What do you think, Shelley?
Well, you've touched on so many things, I'm not exactly sure what to think at the moment.
Pick one. Take what you need and leave the rest.
I can kind of understand the keep coming back thing. Because somebody's looking for an explanation of something, but it might not be a simple answer at that moment. And we learn as we go along. If you sit down and explain that thing like in detail right at that moment, that person who's in a fog may not be able to absorb that information. So basically you're saying, we understand you're confused, just keep coming back, it will become apparent to you. If they had said that instead of just keep coming back, that might have been a little better. But I understand where that comes from. I've always liked the progress, not perfection part of the whole deal. I always say in meetings that that's the loophole.
Loophole.
Because everybody says there are no loopholes in recovery. Well, yeah, there are. That's the one. Progress, not perfection. Because
there's more than that.
I tend to, if I can't do something exactly the way it's supposed to be done, I get depressed or overwhelmed, or I feel like I have shoulds or have tos, or I'm doing it wrong. I don't like that. It makes me, that sort of thing would make me feel bad about myself. So hearing that it's progress, not perfection, I can handle that because then I'm not expected to be a program guru instantly. You know, I can take some time and, you know, get through my steps and get a decent, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here?
I'm foundation.
Basis for
foundation,
your recovery.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, before I...
In case you thought we don't listen when you talk.
Yeah.
I just the whole, you got to do all these steps. I'd get overwhelmed, but it's progress, not perfection. As long as I'm still making progress, you can't just say it's not perfection, then I'm okay. When I stop progressing, then I'll start worrying. Mm-hmm. Done.
Yeah. Done. Yeah, I see the loophole part of that, because then people that aren't really interested in, I've heard people say it, where they're screwing something up, and it's really plain that they're screwing something up, their fog is lifted. I mean, they're not even delusional that they're screwing it up. But they're like, progress, not perfection. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not... You're taking actions at 5 years sober, 10 years sober that... it's not a progress thing. You're like backsliding hugely. You know, but the answer from them will be, well, it's progress, not perfection. Yeah, that's not really progress.
Yeah, if you're not progressing, then...
Yeah, you're doing something that a year ago you would have said, I would never do that. It's not progress. Mark, do you think if you were to suggest to someone how to get out of the fog that's newer, what would you suggest to them?
Keep coming back.
Ha-ha! Yeah.
Official
eye roll. In a way, though, that's it.
It is
eye roll.
It is it, but, you know, I think you have to take a moment or so and explain that to them. That, you know, don't drink or use no matter what. And just show up.
When they used to say, show up, bring the body, the mind will follow.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, at least... I see this in meetings. You get a newcomer that comes in, they know. You know, this is not the 18-year-old who smoked pot one time and their parents have shoved them into the program kind of person. This is somebody who's been around the track a couple of times. They know they need to be there.
Tore up from the floor up?
Yes.
Okay.
And they're faced with the daunting prospect of having to climb 12 steps. And
where's the elevator?
Yeah.
It goes down.
There's sort of a sense of, you know, they're so terrified that they're going to end up drinking and using again, but they don't understand anything that's going on. And I think that the progress, not perfection part of it is kind of comforting because it lets them know, we understand you're not getting it right now, so just stick around. I think that those two things can kind of go hand in hand. It's like, I don't know that if I was expected, you know, to have this sense of immediacy right in the beginning where I have to get these steps, I have to do this right now. And then they have an overwhelming panic attack and we never see them again because they go back out.
Well, you know,
because nobody explains the concept of keep coming back.
The issue is, a newcomer comes in and they've been there about a week. They suddenly see about 20 things in their life that they have this burning desire to change.
Right.
And they change four of them, and the fifth one doesn't work out, and they go get loaded.
Or it's like the people that come in, and they've been in like a week, and they want to start going and making amends. Yeah. Oh, I really need to make amends.
No, you don't.
Not yet.
Yeah. You know, and I was kind of explaining to somebody recently, I said, you know, it was like 7 o'clock at night. I said, what are your chances of making it through the next 5 hours without drinking or using? If you could just go to bed tonight and not have drank or used, would you be content with your day? And they said, yeah, I would be. I said, okay, good. If one day at a time for the rest of your life, if you can go to bed every night and you didn't drink and use, would you be content? Knowing what you know today with 2 weeks sober. They said, yes. They said, But my mother and this and that. I said, whoa. I said, first of all, think of all the things.
We're not talking about your mother.
Think of all the things. If you just one day at a time for the rest of your life went to bed every night clean and sober and you were content with that, think of the possibilities of all the things that would just get better around you because that is the only thing you had to do.
Absolutely.
I said, then think about if you don't do that, none of those things are going to get better, for sure. Because you're going to be right back where you were.
Fog lifting.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the very first meeting I went to.
Mm-hmm.
As a grown-up person going into AA, not Alateen or anything like that. But the very first meeting I went to, I wasn't necessarily in a fog because I knew what was going on. I was going because I was on a husband card.
Uh-huh.
And, I was sitting there not really absorbing much, not because of a fog, but because I knew what I was going to end up having to do. And I really, to the depths of my soul, did not want to deal with all of this crap. And I was sitting there trying to figure a way to get out of it. And mostly I was sitting there thinking, okay, if I don't drink, what the heck am I going to do? What do I fall back? What's my fallback position in life? If I can't drink, what's my fallback position?
Knees.
I don't have one. And then this girl, and I can't remember her name. I do know that that was her last meeting in this area because she was moving to Canada, and she was talking about, you know, she only had like a, she was worried because, well, I've only got like a year or something. And I'm like, a year? And she just, she said, as long as I get my head to the pillow sober, I'm okay. That was all I heard that night. That one phrase. And I repeated that to myself like a mantra for like that whole first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Just get your head to the pillow sober. Get your head to the pillow sober. Because the prospect of what I needed to do in order to stay sober was so daunting at that time that I kind of clung on to that phrase that she said. You know. So what you said just reminded me of that.
Thanks.
I haven't thought of her in a while.
So because Shelley had a rather lengthy thing right there, I can't very well go to her with what her last words are because she just finished talking.
Yeah, ha!
So, for a change, Mark.
What?
What would your final words on lifting the fog or progress not perfection be?
If you want to stay clean and sober, the only thing you have to do that is don't drink or use no matter what. The steps just help make your life better.
Shelly.
Uh-huh.
What are your final words?
Well, if you come in and you're in a fog and you're faced with the program and you know you want to stay sober, there's a reason why the steps, why there are steps. You take one step at a time so that recovery doesn't gang up on you all at once. And that's where progress, not perfection, comes in. Just keep progressing along the steps and the fog will lift.
There you go. I was told once to look at the steps like it was a recipe. And you need to do them in order because that's the thing. Each step is unlocked by the previous step to be able to accomplish. And they said, imagine if you made a cake and you didn't do it in order.
And you baked it before you added
you,
the eggs?
You put the baking mix into the pan with no other ingredients, and you bake it first. Then after you take it out, you add the milk and the egg, and you mix. Doesn't make a very good cake. So do the steps in order. Do them like a...
Makes a very good mess.
And so it would with your recovery as well.
So do the steps in order, and then you get a cake?
See, there
I
you
like
go.
I like it. There's Shelley's last words.
Awesome. Mark.
Yes.
Oh, one thing before that.
What?
Recovery Idol.
Which you mentioned at the top of the show.
I know, but it bears mentioning twice.
So nice you have to say it twice.
So nice you have to say it twice. We need some new jingles. Please use the words Recovery 101 or Recovery 101 Radio in it. Whatever you think rhymes with whatever. You can add the show host names if you so choose. We're narcissistic enough. We like that. And send those into recovery101radio@gmail.com. Mark.
Yes.
Who is our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go to our recovery101.net site, scroll down to the 12-Step Gazette link, and click on it. Take you right to his fine publication, which you can read online. You can have it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery house or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather.
A Lano Club.
Yep. Contact Bruce and he will send you some issues in the hard copy form to strew about the place. If you're interested in a franchise, contact Bruce and give you all the information you need to bring the 12 step because that's your little corner of the world.
That's a way in recovery you can still get your issue. Shelley?
Yes?
Someone's listening to the show.
I'm having an issue. You know what, how you get like an itch on your an itch on your foot and it's like inside your foot in like your heel or something?
Oh my God, really?
It's driving me crazy.
Do you need a knife?
Something.
Okay, what were you going to ask me? Where are we?
Listening to the show.
Yes, go to recovery101.net. Click on one of the shows, then click on like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've been counted in. That helps us with our numbers. Thank you. If you are not a member, you will have an opportunity to become one. It's free.
And fun.
So just go ahead and become a member. And then you can friend us. You can get automatic updates of when we post the shows. You can go back and click. You can follow us. You can go back and click like and put comments on old shows. If you've got any topic suggestions, please go to the show at the top of the page and comment on that one with your topic suggestions, and then Bruce will see it. And you can add us to playlists for your all of your hard partying needs.
For your hard partying needs. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and YouTube. Well, wait a minute. We've got email addresses.
We do.
Recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com, which we should start phasing into that one being the one. recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, that's recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101, a rule 62.
Do not to take yourself so damn seriously.
Do not to take yourself. We're getting a little Italian. Hey, do not to take yourself so damn seriously. Shelly.
Yes?
Who's the lead out music by?
Oh. I don't know. Are we supposed to do holiday music at this point?
Well, we're in between holidays.
You're in charge of the music.
Yeah, we're in between holidays.
I think I'm going to use Falling Down by our friend Doug.
Very nice.
Very good. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Looking up from the ground again, I never see this is how it ends. Where are you now, my God? Can you hear me as I cry? I'm too young, I'm not ready to die. Do you see? So real, so wonderful.